A commission has concluded there's a high probability the U.S. can expect a terrorist attack using weapons of mass destruction sometime before 2013. The report was given to Congress and the White House and shared with scientists and specialists who've been working for years to prevent a nuclear terrorist strike in the U.S. NPR's Mike Schuster has more on the report from the Commission on the Prevention of Weapons of Mass Destruction, Proliferation, and Terrorism.
The debate about nuclear terrorism has been going on for a long time. Some say the threat is real. Others are convinced it is overblown. The report that surfaced earlier this month was recommended by the 9/11 Commission, authorized by Congress, and it takes a stand. It says the risk is growing. Tom D'Agostino agrees. He's the head of the National Nuclear Security Administration, which is responsible for safeguarding the American stockpile of nuclear weapons and for preventing nuclear terrorism.
This is not a theoretical game here. It doesn't take a lot of highly enriched uranium or plutonium to make a bomb. The consequences of that are severe. We do know through our intelligence sources that there is great interest by certain people of attaining this material. And I'm not about to wait until they get enough quantities to make it to set up the systems in place to shut this down early.
One of the systems D'Agostino is referring to is the Radiological Assistance Program, headquartered at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland. It's a component of the Nuclear Emergency Support Team, known informally as the NEST. Recently, the NEST put some of its technology on display at Andrews, a wide range of sensing devices designed to pick up radiation that dangerous nuclear material and even an improvised nuclear device might emit.
This will allow you to walk around and pinpoint the source a little more closely. What it gives the user is verbal feedback in a pair of headphones. In this case, we have a speaker set up. And then the other one we have sort of covertly strung under the table here. And I'll walk it down the length of the table. We've got one display here. This one's set on vibrate. If somebody wants to hold that and see what we're looking at there.
The source in this case was a small container of plutonium. These specialists insist on anonymity for security purposes, but they were willing to talk freely about what they do. For a more realistic exercise, one of the team members has hidden a radioactive source in a nearby parking lot. The team jumps in an SUV outfitted with detection equipment.
Yeah, let's go.
Status check.
Okay. Somewhere in the
November 3rd.
We'll say immediate vicinity, there is something that is suspect that we would like to check out.
As the team drives slowly among the parked cars, the equipment begins to pick up stronger readings.
We are not necessarily going to hear the alarm until we pass it. If it's a pretty weak source, we may not hear that alarm until that person has passed us.
Suspicion eventually falls on a few parked cars. In a real-world incident, the team would be accompanied by FBI agents or other law enforcement officers.
We don't wear bulletproof vests. We don't carry weapons. So we absolutely have to make sure that that area is safe for us to go in and ID.
To narrow the search further, one member of the team hoists a heavy backpack over his shoulders. He will walk among the suspect cars, all the time listening in an earpiece for alarms.
We always walk at a normal pace. We try not to put attention to ourselves. Can you hear that? As we get closer, hear how it'll change the tone? That's how we know that we're getting closer to what we're looking for.
Finally, the team concludes the source of the suspicious radiation is a black Jeep Liberty. Someone brings in another sensor that can actually identify the substance emitting the radiation.
This gives you a nuclide listing of cobalt-60 with an 8 confidence level. That means it says with pretty good confidence that, yes, it is cobalt-60. We also have another source in there which has not been able to identify. If we send the spectrum off to triage, they will be able to tell us what it is.
The team can upload the data by satellite to scientists at Los Alamos and other nuclear labs in New Mexico and California and receive quick identification of exactly what the danger is. Cobalt-60, by the way, is a radioactive isotope often used in nuclear medicine. These teams respond to a wide variety of threats and dangers. After Hurricane Katrina, for instance, the teams used aircraft to map radiation hotspots in New Orleans to make sure no radioactive medicine sources had been carried away by the floods. None were. This equipment is not perfect, and the response teams are relatively small and few in number. But, says Tom D'Agostino, their capabilities are steadily growing.
It'd be nice to get to a system that's foolproof, if you will, easier to deploy, doesn't require highly trained operators. And we're not quite there yet.
NEST teams regularly deploy to what they call national security events. The next such event will be the presidential inauguration on January 20th, where unobtrusive team members will be wandering through the crowds listening for the alarms that might signal a nuclear threat. Mike Schuster, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.